Welcome to Audacity Marketing with Hazel Kimpo and Michelle Frechette. On this podcast, we'll challenge you to think differently and break free of the same old strategies. We'll push you out of your comfort zone and encourage you to think outside the box. So take notes, make bold decisions, and be audacious. Hey, Hazel.
Hello, Michelle. Happy to be back for another episode.
I know, it's exciting. We've both been incredibly busy, but it's nice to get back on a regular recording schedule with you, and always, as always, to see your smiling face.
You as well, and we'll throw audacity out there in the sense of, you know what, you just keep going. Sometimes you want to stop when a thing happens, but otherwise you just keep going. You just keep going no matter
That's
what.
right. And one of the things that I love is that, like, when it's your own project, you can hit pause when you need
Yes.
to and come back, right? Because you have to do the things for your family, the things that make you money, and the things that are the fun things can be on pause and then come back when it's appropriate. And here we are.
Well, you're so mature. You're so mature.
Yeah, that's the things I have to tell myself so I don't feel guilty about not having published something in the last few weeks.
So today you pinged me and had a thought about the differences between branding and marketing
Right.
and sort of the long-term promise of branding and the tactical effects of marketing. What
Right.
are your thoughts? Kick off that conversation,
Yeah.
Michelle.
So words like sales, marketing, advertising, and branding get thrown around as though they are interchangeable. And while there is a lot of overlap, the Venn diagram for this looks like a flower, right? Because there's definitely a spot in the middle where they all overlap and the petals overlap with one another. However, it is not just a circle. It is several circles because while there is overlap, they are distinct from one another. So you can have an ad, right? You run an ad on Twitter, you run it, well, maybe not Twitter anymore. You run an ad on Facebook.
Yeah.
You run an ad in the newspaper, if those were still around. But you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Television
Yes.
ad, whatever. And you can connect an ROI to an ad. You can look at click-through rates. You can look at click-to-sales. You can look at those kinds of things for advertising. To some extent, depending on what you're selling and where you're selling it, an in-person event may or may not be tied to sales, right? Because it may also be a branding
Yes.
event. So
Right.
For example, you are a sponsor at a WordCamp. The likelihood of seeing a huge spike in sales immediately after WordCamp is not incredibly likely. You're not going to see this huge spike. You might see some increase, but it's not necessarily that your sales are tied to that event, because brand awareness and branding is very different than just direct sales and marketing. It's kind of all under that marketing umbrella, if you will, but sales, advertising, marketing, and branding are distinct, in my opinion. What do you think?
I think so too. And I think when I think of branding, I think of it is the hardest thing to teach out of any of the skills, because marketing, I could tell you exactly how to do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Branding, as I teach people it, and I'm teaching more and more people about it, it takes a level of self-awareness of understanding why you buy a thing whenever you buy
Mm-hmm.
a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you that it's often because of branding. There is this really strong thread of trust. Whenever you buy something, you bought it because it has a cool logo, and that cool logo hit in your mind because, oh, I could tell that they spent money on all of their branding and design and they cared about it. You're not thinking about that overtly, but secretly behind the scenes, that's what we care about marketing and branding. And it's funny, I actually think branding is the part that gives marketing a little bit of a bad name, right? Like, it feels,
yeah,
sometimes it's like you're trying to mess with people's minds a bit with branding.
Yeah.
Doing some psychological tricks.
Little
but I think
warfare.
They're totally different. But yeah, I will say, with strong branding, marketing is so much easier. There is no world where marketing doesn't become so much easier with branding. And while nobody's invented a number for that yet, it feels like that is a measurable thing of how much easier marketing becomes the more branding you do. So for the ROI, man, it just, if your life is easier measured in ROI, that seems good to me.
You said that it's easier to teach marketing than branding. And I 100% agree with that. I think that with branding, gut instinct, like what does your gut say, has a lot to do with it, right? Like, you know your product or your service, you should know your audience. So what does your gut say is going to ring true with those people? Now, you can do things like some testing, right? You can do A-B testing. You can do focus groups. You can do surveys of your customers. And that does help you get to like a better understanding of your own brand as how it's perceived out in the wild and to civilians, if you will. But but it is hard to teach the brand aspect of it, because some of it, like I said, is just that gut instinct, like I'm gonna go for it. And like we said in the previous episodes, like sometimes you have to pivot, because sometimes, oh, I guess that was branding for me and not branding for my customers or whatever, you know. And some of that's early stage, right? Early stage brand development, as opposed to how much branding does Coca-Cola still have to do, right? As opposed to direct marketing, because people pay money to advertise for them by buying all of their stuff, t-shirts. And like, you think about Jeep, right? We talked about Jeep before. People buy Jeep stuff crazy. If you love the Buffalo Bills, you own all of their jerseys, right? So people will pay you money to advertise for you if your branding is strong enough.
And I think where small businesses get into trouble is especially when you're building, people who are building a business where they've never been the customer of that business. Mm-hmm. Because branding is all about the customer. And when you don't know the customer and you try to do branding, it feels dishonest. And it feels dishonest to you making it. It feels dishonest to the customer. And it doesn't land. And if I can say of any way of teaching it, I think that's the disconnect of people that... And it's not intentionally dishonest, but I think you don't have a true understanding of what your customer is looking for. Yeah. So you're not speaking that language. You're making shit up. To put it technically.
No, it's true.
And everybody can tell. In marketing, it's just a tactic. You get by. Eventually, the numbers go, you'll make a sale. But that branding, if it doesn't pass the sniff test, like, it's sort of like that uncanny valley. You know, people say when they see, like, AI generated human, or used to before new AI 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like that with the kind of branding when you're like, even a large company like Pepsi, right? They did that many years ago, that Kylie Jenner Pepsi protest one, right? And like, it felt so disingenuous that immediately people were like, that's just gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it can backfire on you if you're not careful too. Right now, and you know, hopefully people will still be listening to this podcast and listen to our back episodes years from now. But right now, there's a huge thing going on with a trans woman, Dylan Mulvaney, and Bud Light. Yeah. And they did not create, as far as I could tell, they did not create every can to have Dylan's face on it. They created a specific set of cans and sent them to Dylan, who made a video about them. And now we got people literally buying Bud Light to go out and run it over with their trucks because they're so anti-trans and they're so, you know, not my Bud Light, and, you know, right next to their gun case and everything else, you know. And, you know, I've heard two different things. I've heard one that that Bud Light's their sales went down, but I've heard another saying their sales are actually coming back up because the people who really care about all of the issues are like, well, I'll buy Bud Light because I'm going to support somebody. I'm going to support a brand that does that. And that's what branding is, right? And so are you branding for your former customers who are fading away and dying out and that kind of thing? Or are you branding for the next generation and hoping to bring new people in? And there, I mean, that's an interesting thing to think about too, right?
100%. That whole thing made me think about the difficulty that large brands are having. The bigotry of all of this is a whole stupid story, which you know what side of story I have on all of that. So that aside, I think it's so interesting because one of the things becomes, well, that became such a big story because Bud Light's brand as like all American, you know, beer belly dude is like,
I think
such
it's
a strong brand. Right, Merca. I apologize. I pronounced it wrong. Merca. It was such a strong brand that having the trans woman on there can felt disingenuous to the people that were, which wasn't even true because they had. The point I'm trying to make, I think these large companies can't win today. There's no way you can. You're going to end up in today's world no matter what. Which leads to a cool benefit for smaller companies and brands of the folks that we're talking to, because I think there's these really interesting branding niches that you can fall into and not have to try to put your hands on every single base at the same time, like a Budweiser does.
Right. And you know, what's interesting too, is with, you mentioned AI a little bit earlier, right? With AI, with other tools that we have, Photoshop, things like that, it's hard to know all of what we're seeing as the backlash, whether it's true or not. So for example, I saw, I can't remember if it was on TikTok or Twitter or where I saw it, maybe Facebook. I saw a couple different billboards that said LOL crybabies with the Bud Light logo. And I thought that has to be Photoshopped. Somebody had to, but then, it would be really cool if Bud actually did that, right? I mean, who knows for sure, right? And I love the people who are so uninformed as a customer that they're like, I'm not going to drink Bud Light. I'm going to go for Anheuser-Busch instead. Well, like, who do you think makes Bud Light, right? Kind of thing. Or the people that are like, I'm going to do Coors. Well, have you seen Coors Rainbows? Like, they, Coors did a whole thing for the LGBTQ community. So,
well, we'll talk about that get a little nerdy from a capitalist lens. The whole reason that beer company does own all of the different ones is because of branding, because they can sell the same product, beverages. I'll tell everybody my favorite, I don't know if I already said this on the podcast, but my favorite like way to study marketing is beverage marketing, because it is pure marketing. There's nothing else you're selling. You're not selling me anything. You go look at a giant wall of water that is all just marketing. The same with beer. And they have all of these business lines because it's an exercise in branding. So I think it's really interesting to study beverage brands as a way
absolutely
of branding. They understand that better than anybody. Liquid Death is a good example.
Exactly. So it is interesting, and I love that there's always something happening in the media that we can point to with whatever our topic is.
Michelle, I have a question for you. What have you seen or done recently that has been particularly audacious, either in your, that you've seen around the marketing world, or that you've done, that you want to show that you've done recently?
Oh gosh, what have I done recently? I can't think of anything off the top of my head. You go first while I think.
I'm gonna go first. I've been really into this concept lately of build a list, work a list. I'm always into build a list, work a list. Like, part of my marketing is like, build a list of folks, reach out to those folks, whether it's sales or partnerships, generally partnerships on my lens. And the audacity that I have to reach out to some people that I've known business reaching out to, which is, it always pays off every single time. Every single time I'm like, I'm going to reach out to this person, even though they will probably never respond. You know, 2 minutes later, I'm in a meeting with them. You never know. So I think that's where I probably shared those examples before, but it's never ceases to amaze me, the audacity of just, who cares? What's the worst that will happen?
So so having thought a little bit while you talked, I will tell you that for me, one of the things I tell people is don't give away things for free, right? Don't do work for free. Unless it's incredibly strategic. Okay. Because I have done, and I mean, I'm the do as I say, not as I do girl, right? Because I volunteer and give away so much of myself. But it's also put me where I am in the community today. And I haven't, like, it's, I won't say that it's all been strategic, because a lot of it was like, oh, wow, look where I am, right? Like happenstance and serendipity and whatever. And in retrospect, like, wow, I worked my way here, but I didn't see it in the moment. But I am doing something, taking on a new project, creating a new project for the WordPress community that is, at this point, a zero money maker, unless I get some sponsors for it, which would be lovely. But I will be over the weekend creating wpspeakers.com. And
that is much needed.
Yeah. So as somebody who organizes not only WordCamps, but my local meetup, constantly looking for speakers to come in and talk about topics, because the 20 people in my room can't keep talking about the same topics over and over and over. And right now it's a virtual room anyway, so I could bring anybody from all over the world. And I have through the pandemic. But I'm starting to think, like, gosh, who do I know that could do something? And if I just had a list of people that I could search, wow, wouldn't that be awesome? And so we have that a little bit with underrepresented in tech, but as specifically underrepresented folks, this would be specifically WordPress and anybody that wanted to speak publicly.
I love it. I have one more question. Do you think audacity is contagious? Because I kind of think it is. I'm like, I have this idea that everybody should have a very audacious friend, because I feel like audacity is very contagious.
I think it is. I think that regardless of how contagious it may be, there's still a tipping point within each person that says it's okay to dip my toes into the Audacity world, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the kid who was afraid to dip her toes into the water when I was a kid. I did not even want to go to swimming lessons. We had a pool in our backyard. I did not want anything to do with it, right? Like, but there was a tipping point where sitting in the backyard listening to everybody else have fun in the pool meant I had to go to those swimming lessons because my mom wouldn't let me swim unless I had them, right? So there's that tipping point where you go, even though I'm afraid and it could be dangerous, I'm still going to do it and see what might happen. And it could be a little step, or it could be like a jump it in both feet, right? But I think that, yes, I think that a lot of people won't even dip their toes into it without somebody else going, this is fun, right?
Yep.
Come along with me. So it definitely is contagious. But I also think that you have to swallow the fear and take that step into the land of
At some point, you have to. Yeah, good thoughts on that. I've been wondering about that because I always feel especially audacious after I get off a call with you. I'm like, I'm going to go conquer the world.
Same. Absolutely.
All right, awesome. Michelle. Well, great chat about branding and marketing, and we look forward to connecting next week.
Yeah, we'll see what we come up with, but it's always going to be fun. Bye.
Bye.
This has been Michelle Rochette and Hazel Kimpo with Audacity Marketing. Dare to be different and dominate your market with Audacity.